There's a beautiful reception next door. You don't want to miss it. You want to just go just to see the decorations. And we're honoring them today. Thank you so much. 1 Samuel chapter 13 today. 1 Samuel 13. David, Jesse's youngest son, shepherd boy of Bethlehem, giant slayer, teenager, king elect, composer, Saul's personal musician, Jonathan's closest friend, a man after God's own heart. These two graduates have opportunities ahead of them, but what matters most is their personal love relationship with Jesus. That's what Pastor Colton was getting to with those Bibles. Having a relationship with God is most important. I remember Lily as a fifth grader when I first arrived at Gospel Light back in October of 2016. The following summer, 2017, she was going to be moving into sixth grade. We were planning to go to a teen conference called Teen Extreme down in Pensacola, Florida. And Pastor Colton was here as our summer intern, and man, there was excitement brewing in the youth group that we're going to go to Florida for youth camp. It was for 7th through 12th graders. Lily came to us and says, I know I'm only going into 6th grade, but I would like to go to Pensacola. So I remember calling down to the college and asking them if it would be okay for us to bring a 6th grader with us, and they said yes. And Lily had the time of her life. Do y'all remember the picture of the kayak with her and Pastor Colton? That was in Pensacola. And what a great time she had. I remember many memories of Lily. She grew up with our teen group. Week in, week out, she's helped in Bible school. She's been involved in everything here at the church. Now, as she got older, she joined the band. Band is a big commitment. She also got a car, I think, and got a job. So we haven't seen her as often, but she still comes occasionally. And we just want to say praise the Lord for Lily. I'm glad that I knew her and know her as her pastor. Landon, on the other hand, came very sporadic to our teen group until this past year. And God was dealing with his heart, and you heard the story when he got saved after one of our teen meetings earlier this year. Now he's here on every Sunday, every Wednesday night, faithfully. And boy, he has a desire to be here. He was getting ready one Sunday morning after he got saved, and somebody asked him, oh, are you going to church today? He said, that's what Christians do. They go to church on Sunday. Hallelujah. And been going faithfully ever since. And we honor them today. I just want to challenge both of them to be a graduate after God's own heart. Y'all remember this passage? It's 1 Samuel 13, 14. Samuel's speaking to Saul, King Saul. And he says, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. Saul, your kingdom's going to end. And the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. Of course, he's referring to David. And the Lord hath commanded him, he's already appointed him to be captain or leader over his people. It's also mentioned in Acts 13, 22. He raised up unto them David to be their king and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Since David was the only person in Scripture, all of Scripture, who is referred to in this way, a man after God's own heart, we think of him all sometimes as maybe a spiritual Superman. But I want to remind you, he was not equipped with supernatural powers or qualities. God does not select his servants, listen, on the basis of personal appearance or their intellect. No, God's more concerned about your heart. I love 1 Corinthians 1. You don't have to turn there. I think we're going to show you on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 29. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. All right? So men full of wisdom, and they're powerful, they're wealthy, not many of them are called. Verse 27. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world, the things the world considers foolish, to confound the wise, to shame those who think they are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world, the powerless, to confound the things which are mighty, to shame those things which are powerful. Verse 28, base things, things counted as nothing of the world, things that are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. In other words, God used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory or boast in his presence. See, God's method of choosing human servants runs contrary to human reasoning. That a young shepherd boy would be chosen to be the anointed king of Israel makes no sense in the world's eyes. But in God's mind, it makes perfect sense. Israel's choice was a man named Saul. And I'm not going to spend much time here about Israel's choice. But they had rejected God as their king. They wanted to have a king like all the other nations. But I tell you, the only problem with that is all the other nations were headed for hell. Are you with me? Wes quoted that verse about the heathen. So, in other words, God's people, Israel, wanted a king because they wanted to be like the heathen, wanted to be like the other nations. So they rejected God as their king. And as the Lord predicted, they ended up sorry that they ever mentioned the word king. Now, Saul would have been, if Israel was a car lot, are y'all with me? Saul would have been the classiest Cadillac on the lot. I'm telling you, he was loaded with all the extras. He was the tallest. He was the most handsome man among them. Saul looked good in Israel's eyes, but his height, his good looks, could not hide his unstable heart. He had a heart full of selfishness, impatience, disobedience, deception, pride, violence. I could go on and on. He loved to play the blame game. In other words, blame everyone else and minimizing his own sin. This isn't the way a man of God is supposed to lead God's people. He thought he could disobey God and get by with it. Let me remind you, you cannot disobey God and get by with it. You think, preacher, I've gone this long in sin and I'm doing fine. Paydays are coming someday. Disobedience never brings God's blessing. But then I want to talk about God's choice. As the marks of weak character begin to scar King Saul's life, God began to look for his replacement. This time it would be his choice, a choice not based on human reason, but on the qualities of the heart. And these are my 3 points today that I want to drive into Lily and Landon, but also everyone here. We need to have these qualities in our heart to be a person after God's own heart. Number one, righteousness. God looks for those with hearts like his own. Being a person after God's own heart means living in harmony with him. Being burdened by what burdens God. Obeying his command to go to the right or to the left or stay right where you're at. In a nutshell, it's having a heart that is completely his. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the first part says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Boy, he's searching throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. What's that mean? Fully committed to God. Are you striving through the power of the Spirit that lives inside of you to live a righteous life? What does that mean? Right in the sight of God. Righteousness. See, when God's searching eyes stop and fix their gaze upon you, does he find a heart that's fully committed to him? A heart that's grieved by sin. A heart that is intent on avoiding what displeases him. He found that in David. Boy, I pray that he'll find that in us. A heart completely his. Number two, humility. God seeks those with committed hearts. so that he might support them, build them up, strengthen them. God's choice in David was a man that was humble. I see a teachable spirit. I see a dependence on God. I see a reliance on Almighty God. David knew he couldn't do it in his own strength. He was upheld by God's hand. Mighty servant of God. I think he was completely unaware of himself. He was completely unconcerned about who got the glory, what image he was projecting, what people might say about it. I heard it put this way: the seeds of a servant's heart grow best in the fertile soil of humility. Righteousness, humility. Number three, integrity. David's heart was wholesome and pure. He measured his life with the unbendable yardstick of integrity. Are y'all with me that it's hard to find somebody with integrity these days? Woo. Man, if we had somebody in leadership with integrity, that would be something, wouldn't it? That'd be such a blessing. Psalm 78, verse 70. He chose David, also his servant, took him from the sheepfold, that's where he found him. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed or shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance, his very own people. Verse 72. So he fed them, that means he cared for them according to the, what? Say it with me. Integrity of his heart. And guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. God has little use for handsome Sauls that are full of charisma. What he values most is someone who is deeply spiritual, humble, and honest to the core. That's the kind of servant God uses. That's the kind of person after God's own heart. As he found these qualities in the shepherd boy David, it just tells me that God does not see as man sees. Y'all know this scripture: man looks on the outward appearance. Finish it with me, ready? But God looks on the heart. Really, the acid test is, are you willing to do my will? Landon and Lily could list us what they want to do in life. Here's what I want. But really, what they need to do is have a blank sheet of paper, sign it at the bottom, and say, God, you fill in the blanks. I want to do your will, not mine. That's the bottom line. And if they are righteous, if they are humble, and they are people of integrity, then I believe God's going to use them in such a great way. Boy, David was used. Now, was he perfect? No, none of us are. But he was able to rise above the turmoil in his life. He confessed his sin. He got right with God. Yes, he paid the consequences. But today, he is revered as a man of God. Now, how did God train David for the task? Number one, I thought solitude. Right where he was, right where God had him, in the lonely fields, tending the sheep. He was in the school of solitude. You know, we all need a secret place where we meet with the Lord, all alone with God, who's above all, and who is God alone, like we sang about this morning. Is there a time each day where you're in solitude with him? Boy, he wants to teach you. He wants to grow you. He wants to communicate with you through prayer and reading the word. Number two, I thought of his obscurity. His character wasn't built in an ivory palace. No, it was built on the backside of a shepherd's fold, out in the fields. He was unseen, he was unknown, he was unappreciated. Nobody was applauding David. In fact, when Samuel came to anoint the king, they didn't even call David in from the field. And Samuel got through all the sons and said, "You got any more boys? None of these are the one." "Oh, yeah. The youngest one's out in the field." Wow. Obscurity. What about number three, routine? God allowed David to wrestle with insignificance, the daily grind. I tell you, with no relief in sight, David just carried on faithfully day after day after day after day. You know, you may serve behind the scenes. No one knows what you do for the master. God's keeping a record. You may not get applauded by us or a pat on the back, but God's keeping a record. And he loves you to get into a routine. What do you mean, preacher? A routine of daily worship with him, of going to church on Sunday and Wednesday. Can I hear an amen? Okay, it's getting quiet. How about serving in a ministry? How about doing something for God? That's the kind of routine he wants you in. Number four, reality. Man, he was exposed to dangers and threats. God put steel in his bones. And so when it was time to face the old giant, David said with great, bold assurance, look at this, 1 Samuel 17, 37a, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Wow. God used those things in his life. Now, life's not easy. We all face giants of different sizes and different shapes. But God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God did not prove his character on the battlefield that day when he killed Goliath. He proved it day in and day out in the fields. It's in the little things that we prove ourselves capable of the big things. Are you doing those little things? Taking steps in discipleship, loving Jesus? You say, "I want to do great things for God." You got to do the little things first. And that's why God blessed him. Before entrusting David with the lives of the entire nation of Israel, God first gave him a flock of sheep to protect. By the way, when God develops inner qualities, he's never in a hurry. Do you know character is developed only with time? Now, this is a marker in time. This is a high school graduation for Landon and Lily tomorrow night. They have more time to mature. They have more time to grow. And I thought about this. I think we got it on the screen for you. God giving us time to grow is part of his plan of grace. Just by not giving up on us. Can I hear an amen there? No, he gives us time to make mistakes and grow and mature. And by him doing that, that's just his plan of grace. Got one more scripture for you, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, Paul says, "I am certain that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it." He's going to continue his work until the day of Jesus Christ, until it's finally finished on the day that Jesus returns. Landon and Lily, every one of you, no matter how much growth you have yet to do, no matter how out of place you feel sometimes as a servant, no matter how small and insignificant you feel, you are God's choice. God wants to use every one of us. Are you willing to do his will, not your own? Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder if you're here today and you say, you're kind of unsure of what tomorrow holds. Maybe it's with your career, your business, your family situation, his will for your life, where he wants you to serve. I tell you, the comforting thing is God knows he's still in control. He's going to lead you. Here's what you got to do. Wait, listen, and rest in him. Wait, listen, rest in him. While we panic, man, he's already working behind the scenes. Many times before we call, he's already answering. We may not know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Amen? I'm certain of this. With righteousness, humility, and integrity, man, we can live a life greatly blessed by God. May that be our prayer. Can we pray that right now? God, make me a man after your own heart. The invitation today is not just for our graduates. It's for all of us. How are you developing in righteousness, humility, and integrity? What area needs the most work? Where do you need to ask God to work in your life? I'm going to play a song. I sing this song, but my voice is shot today. But I'm going to play this song as our invitation. If you'd like to come forward and say, Preacher, that is my desire, to have righteousness, humility, and integrity in my life. If you hate it, I want to hate it. If you love it, I want to love it. And I want to get to know you in a better way. Spend time with you. Get into a routine of seeking you daily. If that's your desire, would you join me in this altar? Let's stand together while the song plays. Listen to the words of the song. Let's pray. Let's give this to God.